look in the eyes of my brother.
Welcome back to another episode of the Informally Honest Podcast. Brothers from the middle of the neighborhood of Gary, Indiana, coming to you. Talk about this thing called life. No matter what we do or where it goes, we're going to always be forthright, vulnerable, and honest. Josh, call off.
Adam.
Double A.
Marcus.
So, we coming to you this week, fellas. How y'all doing? How's the week treating you?
Pretty well, man.
Good.
A lot of work.
Pretty good. Same here, man. I'm doing pretty good. I got a. I'm in the midst of a move, so by this time next week, I'll be all moved into the new place. So, making some moves, some changes around here.
Hey, congratulations on the new abode, on new residence. Appreciate it.
Unfortunately, sure. I won't have this beautiful backdrop anymore. You know, it's all good.
I'm sure you'll figure something out.
Yeah, just get a whiteboard and like draw it
accurately. Or just take a picture of it and make it your virtual background.
This is true. the tricks of this old thing we've been doing for 2.5 years that I probably should have known already.
Technology,
not bad on this end. I recently found out. So I had a potential job that I was kind of hoping for because the money was gonna be dumb, but then I don't qualify because the nigga don't have a BA, and that shit broke my fucking heart because I know I am overqualified for that job.
Yeah, that's silly to me. Like, if you know your stuff. Like, unless you're trying to be a doctor, you know, okay, sure.
Sure.
Let me show you, see those certifications. That's fine. But, like, I don't know. That's crazy.
I'm like teaching dance to dancers that probably aren't even going to pursue dance, but want to learn about it in a more, like, professional way. Again, I'm overqualified for this job, but you're telling me because I didn't put myself in debt to get that.
Basically.
I'm not qualified.
So, potentially, somebody who never taught is probably going to end up teaching them. Maybe you taught dance for a long time.
I've been teaching dance
and performing like on professional stages, yes. Like
around the 15 world. Years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Over 50.
This is what the fuck he does in the world currently.
And they pretty much told me, like, you know, we can bring you in for workshops. You can even come in and maybe do some choreography, but we can't hire you for staff because we have a strict, they must have a BA policy. And I was like, so you just said, like, you bring me in for smaller things, but you ain't going to pay me that goddamn real rate. And that really took me out. So I'm looking for some solutions to that. Of course, it's probably going to still equate to me going to get my degree at some point, which I knew I was going to do eventually, but trying to figure out a way to circumvent the system so I ain't stuck in school or in more major debt. I already owe the mafia too much. So yeah.
Well, sorry to hear that, man. I know you pretty much just said you already have a plan around it. But
working
still,
on a plan. I ain't got a plan. I ain't going. Well,
yeah, you're working on it. So yeah, you're working on it. You know, you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah,
it's just fucking crazy to hear, man. You don't.
Otherwise, it was a good week though. Good week. I got my program down at Purdue. Last few years, we've only had about 8-9 students, and this semester we got 21.
Oh, dope. Is that just more word of mouth? Is that just better marketing?
I think one of my students in particular did some heavy recruiting. A couple of them brought in a friend or two, but one of them went to some like freshman convention thing because she's about to graduate and brought in a gaggle of niggas that.
Yeah, what is the proper term for a group of people?
Gaggle?
it took a while. I'm there. Oh, shit.
We had a great first day on Thursday. it was a real damn good first day. I got my first like bushel of they thems, And they came to work. All the days came
all
to work.
The niggas.
I was like, yo, this is fucking fantastic. And so I let them know. I was like, I'm really enthralled with this because, one, we ain't had them kind of numbers since early 2010s. And and yeah, they came in. We worked up a good sweat. I was like, okay. Now,
hey, you got damage. You got some good news to balance the otherwise could be considered bad news. Yeah, no, that's cool.
I try, silver's my favorite color. I try to walk in the gray. But
more power black, to you, dog.
Black I is can't
fuck with. I was about to say gray is just I can't fuck with gray for like the long haul. I can't just stick with it for the long haul.
It's cool. Let's hop into this subject.
Yeah, I like gray.
We got a couple for y'all. First, I don't know if you watch Abbott Elementary. Audience, if you don't, you should. If you do, good job. Shout out to Quincy Brunson, fine ass. Shout out to Shirley Ralph's finer ass. And all dope people on there that just won Emmys and getting, you know, Golden Globes, I think is what just happened.
Yeah.
That won Golden Globes and Emmys was a little bit before that. But yeah, so this thing happened in the last episode last episode I watched anyway, where, spoiler alert, in case you ain't watched two episodes ago, Tyler James Henry and Quentin Brunson. Wait, that's his name, right? Everybody hates Chris. Ain't that his real name?
I think so.
Tyler James Williams.
There we go. I mix him up with Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler James Williams and Quentin Brunson had like this unspoken crush on each other. And then neither of them has made a pass when they had the chance. Now Quinta is going on a date with Tyler's friend who's being played by Vic Mensa. I don't remember his character's name. And not Vic Mensa. Vince Staples. Jesus, I'm fucking up everybody's name.
Okay. Because I know he's an actor too, so I'm like, okay.
That's a whole nother person. That's a fair
with Vince Staples. And when Tyler found out, he gave her a heads up that, you know, Vince might not really work, but, you know, just keep your head on the swivel. And she hit him with what some people are considering a bar. Mm-hmm. If you need to give me a heads up, how is he your friend?
Mm. See, I looked at it. All right, yeah, I'm good to jump in.
No,
right?
Please, go ahead.
So at first, like when it first came out, like, dang, that's a good point. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think, and I haven't seen the show, so maybe, but if I'm just looking at this from just a human psychological standpoint, mm-hmm. I think the guy is probably just trying to deter her away. Cause like you said before, he has a crush on her. Right.
Right.
So maybe that's his way of saying like, dang, I didn't make a move, but maybe I can derail this from happening. So maybe I can make one, you know, does that make sense?
It does. And I think that could be that kind of case. And so if we were making a hypothetical in one situation, that could definitely be really certain, not to confine it to what I think these characters are thinking and doing and all that kind of stuff.
It would help if I knew the character, like, is this something they would do? Like, I, you know, but if I'm like, so I'm basing this off of just what I know about people.
Yeah. Objectivity.
Yeah.
Like with the characters, like Tyler has a girlfriend, he's dating, one of his students' mama, who's fine as shit. She did a guest cameo in Atlanta too. I don't know if you watched the last season of Atlanta.
I didn't. Not yet, at least.
I need to though. Yeah,
I'm behind on everything basically.
Yeah, I gotta catch up on that. But that seems like the an obvious move for a teacher.
So yeah, Aaron Marcus, what are your thoughts on this?
It's funny because I think I got lost a little bit during the description.
Let's say you had a friend, like a work friend or something like that, and then I made a pass at them and you were like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up, you know, like, be careful with them. Be careful with Josh. And then she hits you like, hi to your friend if you got to give me a heads up.
Got you. Okay. Now I'm there. Damn. First of all, I have to ask myself, like, damn, why am I doing that to Josh like that? You know what I'm saying? Damn. Shit. I mean, that's a legitimate, that's a fair question for sure. Like, why the fuck, like, why is he your homie if you got to warn me about him? But here's the thing. I guess coming at it from a similar viewpoint is Adam. I think about the different types. Like, you know, there are people who are saying like, you have friends for different seasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like not everybody you're going to rock with in the same way. Or like, you wouldn't bring everybody to every function or something. You know what right. I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that.
So I'm kind of looking at it like that. Like, you know.
But I guess it's not a public function. That's your.
I'm just thinking friend. About like, hey, I pick up certain friends or different parts of my life, but it doesn't mean I'm gonna suggest it for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Everybody not compatible or whatever.
Can I add to my point?
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna say this. Like, if I was in that predicament, you got to think about where your loyalties lie. So for me, I'm not going to warn some random person about my, even if I think my friend is like, yeah, kind of, you know, not boyfriend material and, you know, or sick, whatever, you know, because they like to be all over the place. That's not my responsibility to tell that person that. I'm going to keep my mouth shut and like, hey, that, you know, I'm going to just say that. So you got to think about where your loyalties lie. Cause like, I'm not going to go out of my way to derail my friend's opportunity. Even if I know he's a douchebag, I'm just like, hey, well, it's none of my business.
I think it all come down to like, how much do you really like her?
Yeah.
Like, because you may be, for you not to say that you do, I mean, you're not much better than him. I mean, maybe he actually about to shoot his shot. I mean, if you're not doing it, then how could you be mad at anybody else?
True.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of think like, in what way is this friend of mine a douchebag? Like, am I really worried about him hurting you in some way that like you can't come back from? You know what I'm saying? You're strong, independent woman. You can come back from
me. Like, it's whole thing of like, you got this like,
some people really be destroying friendship. People
though. Yeah, I know. Like, destroying people. I look at it like this. Regardless of my feelings for her, if I think that there's a potential that he might do some bullshit, I'm not gonna tell her to keep her head on the swivel. I'm gonna tell him, yo, I really care about this person.
Yeah.
And even if I gotta, you know, tell a half truth and be like, it ain't like I'm trying to fuck myself, but I care about this person, so don't be a dick. Yeah. That's not to bring to her.
I agree. You're right. I think that's kind of piggybacking off of what Adam was saying, like your loyalty lies maybe more with him. Mm-hmm. And therefore it probably makes it easier to have that awkward or difficult conversation with him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now, because y'all rocking.
Now here's the other side of this, because I have this growing platonic relationship with her and now she's going out with my dude. If she brings some stuff about my dude to me, I can speak objectively, or like I can speak unbiasedly to go, yo, that's my homie. Here's some context as to why they may act this way within reason, not just like telling a whole life story. Also,
that's a slippery, because, it can be a slippery slope.
Yeah,
because she keep coming to you. She keep coming to you. Like,
now you're becoming part of it. Like, you know what I mean?
It depends on what you say.
Yeah, but she may be wanting to console to you about him.
And that's going to be clear.
Now you guys are talking about that.
But now that's when boundaries come into play.
Yeah, true, that's you're right. That's what boundaries, yep.
when that time comes, that's when you can set a new boundary and be like, yo, I can't be your confidant because that's my friend.
Yeah. I would just use different names too. Like, so if there was a scenario when it was a guy, his name was, if he did such and such in a different situation, it has nothing to do with y'all, baby. Don't worry. I'm just saying if he was, this is what I might say to him.
Now, one thing I do know though, is if y'all are messing around and let's say y'all are really about your monogamy shit and y'all have made some agreements and all of that, and I clearly know my homie is on some bullshit and not honoring the contract that y'all have, I have no issue with being like, yo, you should leave.
I think I'm going to go to him first again. And, you know, I guess it all starts with me going to him first and being like, yo, I don't even know if I guess... I might even say something like, yo, homegirl is seeming like she's really feeling you. And by the way she's talking, it seems like you really pumping her head, like with stuff that you really making her think is one way. Are you on that fuckery again? Come on, man. Now I'm in the middle of it. I just want to, you know.
I feel like we may be talking about two different points in the timeline, though. If it's that early on shit like that, absolutely. Let's say y'all been in this for like 6 months. You've said we're exclusive, but I know that you still fucking Sheila over on 63rd.
Sheila in Chatham.
It's close enough, actually. Yeah. I think 63rd is in Chatham, actually.
Yeah, that's
too much chance, man. Too much chance.
I was gonna say, that's what I'm saying. So, like, that's different to me. If a contract has been made, essentially, you know, any monogamous, polyamorous, whatever. If the contract's been made, you're clearly violating the contract, and then she's over here all heartbroken and shit like that. I had a situation where some family was getting to know me, and then I found out that same family was beating the dog shit out of his girlfriend. I didn't go, oh, that's my family, like, you know, give him a chance. I told her, you should fucking leave.
That's a different level of severity.
I mean, absolutely.
I would absolutely be like, first of all, let's do this. Let's talk at the hospital or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking of survival mode at this point. Like, okay,
right,
you got to get the fuck out of here.
But even beyond physical, even if it is like mental and emotional, I'm saying if this is not to your betterment and you don't actually want to fight for it in a way that's going to be healthy, fucking leave.
Yeah, I agree. It's less important to, like, I think loyalty is less important than it's like just human decency.
Yeah,
at that point.
But in an early stage, go ahead, Adam, my bad.
No, just to speak on like the physical violence in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I know this isn't the main subject, but I just got to say it. Like, a lot of times women particularly are in those relationships and they want to leave, but they feel like they can't because this guy, you know, they feel like this dude's going to kill me if I try to leave. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of times that is absolutely the most dangerous time for a woman in an abusive relationship to leave is to leave. And because we see it all the time, like, you know, some man loses his mind and kills his girlfriend or wife because she wanted to leave him, but she wanted to leave him because he was abusive. So it's like, if you guys do know women in abusive relationships, a lot of times they literally need like more than someone just telling them to leave. Like, they might literally need you to come to the house, like, and, you know,
help get them
there.
Out.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, because this guy ain't gonna do nothing if someone else is there most time, because typically they're weak minded anyway. So
exactly.
I just wanted to say that because, you know,
no, like, absolutely.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point, man. You actually like need something set up where they feel safe. Like, so, not can't guarantee everything, but they need to feel like there's a plan set in place. There's for resources or something. Place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of it's mental too. Because there's plenty of women who, you know, who've gone back after leaving. You know, it's like, damn.
Yeah. So you not, know. I didn't mean to take it down that road.
Yeah.
But I was on that same note. I remember watching. Recently, I watched this show from Spain called Alpha Males because I've been on my sitcom kick. And the whole thing is about like these four older dudes in late 30s, early 40s, I think it is, being overtaken by the progressive women of today or something like that. It's supposed to be a comedy. But essentially one of the
Dr. give us a room later on if you guys want to check that out. They're in the clip notes.
I watched the whole thing and I'm not saying it was bad, but it wasn't great. I think it probably does way better with a different kind of audience.
Yeah,
I feel that. Yeah.
I would say one of the characters, he'd been cheating on his girl for like 2 years with his business partner's wife.
Damn.
One day his girl approaches him like, hey, I want to have an open relationship. And all of a sudden he's like, no, why would we ever do that? I would never want to spend my time with another person.
He's crazy. It's like, fam, don't you know I got this relationship so I can fuck you over? I don't want this shit to be fair now.
He wants cake. He wants cake and want to be better. What's the saying?
You want your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. Which I think most people want to eat their own cake, but
yeah, like that saying makes no sense.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I bring all this up to say that kind of thing was when he told his friends about his girl wanting to be in an open relationship, he didn't tell all the like ways that he was being crazy about following her when she would go out on dates with other guys or some kind of stuff. And they all went, you know, you're being a hypocrite, right? But they didn't actually check him for real. They just went, you know, that's stupid, and then moved on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, we know we see that level of double standard.
Double standard.
Whatever the term
is.
Yeah. That's like people want to like if, I mean, we see it culturally, like men, like, I mean, we know, there's nothing, you can't prove it, but men are more likely to cheat, right? I mean, I think, can we agree with that? Right.
My loyalty still lies with you, Adam. But I'm just saying. Like,
I'll say this.
I can't say that.
Okay. Well, I'll say this then. Different attack here.
I'll leave you on that island by yourself.
Suck that battleship. You play that battleship, guy.
But no, like, I really don't know. That derailed the whole thing.
I know what you mean, though. If we go based off of typical society standards and the way things are set up and like how, let's, if this dude has money and prestige and blah, 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 and there's like more men in power in situations than women.
But honestly, that doesn't even matter. But we know all the time, though, we probably even know guys that we know are like, have, you know, been not loyal. But then if their significant other was, we know that the individual would be like, would blow up or be like,
yes, I did.
So yeah. So Aaron is backing me on this. So yeah.
Now here's the thing. I probably shouldn't go on record saying this, and I know we ain't gonna get cut, but at one point I was a very disloyal person. Okay. And as loyalty is defined. And I gotta tell you, I was praying I'd come home and catch my girl getting the back blown out. Giving me so much like reprieve. Like, finally, thank you.
Wait a minute. So you mean because of the guilt or?
Not even the guilt. I don't even really know that I felt any
want to
guilt.
Even the playing field.
Just to be like, okay, it's not just me.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Then. I mean, that like, I respect that because I honestly thought you meant it any other way. Like, I wish you would, like, meaning like I'm gonna lose my mind. That's what I thought you were saying. Not at all. Well, I respect that, honestly.
It just seems like
both of y'all were unhappy and you it kind of would have like made the conversation easier.
Yeah.
I would have felt reprieved personally.
Go ahead, Marco.
The whole cheating subject is always real shaky. Like, it's no solid ground about it. Cause it's like, you just said, like, if both of y'all was unhappy, but what if both of y'all were happy, but doing what y'all was doing without being honest about it?
How often does that happen without?
I think that may happen a lot.
I think it may
what I'm saying is like, I'm not saying they're deeply depressed or just their relationship is horrible, but there's something that they're not, there's a conversation that they should have had and could have, like, it's not that this feeling just came out of nowhere. They could have had the conversation and just shied away from it for whatever reason. Well, that's just in their individual minds, I'm saying, you know?
The thing about it is, I think that's why the
conversation... They didn't want monogamy, you know?
That's what I'm saying. I think that's what, with non-monogamy becoming more popularized, I think the ease around it is a lot it's a lot more like tangible for people.
Understood. Like, yeah, it's understood.
Because for our entire lives, with the exception of like maybe the last 3 years, monogamy has had a chokehold on popular society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way that anything outside that's demonized.
Yeah.
Not just the whole thing of like, I couldn't do it, but like it is.
It's still taboo though.
Outwardly. It's still very much the stronger of the two.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. And to go back to Marcus' point, like I think if there were two people that were, you know, stepping outside of the lines of the relationship, but not even because they were unhappy, like you said, just because they wanted to. I think the reason why people don't talk about it is because they still think it's taboo and like thinking like my partner would never go for this. So I'm going to just leave it to I'm going to just keep it to myself. And, you know, kind of, I think that's probably what most people do.
And you ask about trust amongst the two to talk about difficult things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's still something that's missing is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them to do that. And I know that for myself, I was insecure. I had a lack of trust. And there's a couple other white women who had really big butts. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I was that asshole who, obviously, from insecurity and shit, lack of trust, I blew up when I found out in a very shocking way that she was also doing the same thing. Like, oh, damn. So, there was many conversations that should have been had that weren't. Just hearing that term bubble a dude is just crazy. But there was just many conversations that weren't had and that we clearly wanted to have them, just for whatever reason didn't, just from level of discomfort, being taboo or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead, Marco.
I was gonna say, maybe it's important to find out like if that's really what the person wants, or they just being like a result of the time.
You know, bro, that's true.
Yeah,
and you know what? I kind of feel like, and a lot of times the person might not even know, or you won't find out until they're challenged in some way. Like a lot of times in jobs, you think you can handle a job until you see you're confronted with a certain challenge and you realize, oh shit, this is not the job for me. It's the same in a relationship, I think.
Yeah, that's very true. You learn the more relationships, and honestly, the more failed relationships, you learn more about yourself.
Yeah.
Because you can honestly stay in a relationship for a long time and may not have any progress as far as personal areas or whatever as a person. Yeah. But it's really not an age thing at all, because I feel like personally I started seriously dating later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Than most people. And you just learn more about yourself.
It's true.
And it's no point of staying in something where you know that you're not compatible. And that's really and it takes adversity, like Aaron said, to know that. So
I'll put
it. Yeah.
I'll just leave it right there.
I can completely agree with that. Something I say to my students and often is growth happens more often in discomfort.
For sure.
I'll say it only happens. I mean, that's not true. I would say it happens more with discomfort than it does.
Right.
You know, when you're just completely because when things are going great, you're not looking to grow. You're just like, oh, everything's great. I'm just going to coast. But then when you hit, like, Mark said, when you hit adversity,
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I thought I pronounced it wrong. But anyway, when that happens, you're forced to you got to figure it out. Like, how am I going to get through this? And then that's when you start learning, oh, I can use this resource, or I can do this, or I didn't know I was capable of doing this, or this friend over here is really good at this. You know, it's like whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I agree with that.
That's the big thing. I'm so, sorry, Josh. Go ahead. You were fine.
I slightly push back to that only to say, like, I think discomfort is something that you should frequent, but I don't think being uncomfortable all the time is the only way to grow. Because I do think inside of when you find a rhythm and you're starting to get better at whatever it is you're producing and whatnot, you're still fine tuning that skill. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not growing anymore because you're fine tuning. I think there's a fine tune period, and then there's a point where you're just doing whatever that plateau is, and that's when you need to find some discomfort again.
I would piggyback on Josh yours just to say that when you're fine tuning it, it's not that you found that groove and you're just not uncomfortable at all anymore. I just think there's more of a balance of like, this is a challenge, but my skill is beginning to catch up a little bit to meet this challenge. You know what I'm saying? As I'm fine tuning. So it's not, I don't think you have to stay in discomfort, like you said, all the time. It's just, but if daily you can spend some time in it and then come back to me, that's as you're fine tuning that skill, you're spending some time in it, you know? But
I can agree with that.
What's that cool, just to sum it up, what's that, I probably mentioned it before, I like this quote, it says, life starts at the end of your comfort zone. Not that it's definitely some true shit right there.
I can agree with that. Cool, so let's put a pin in it there, and we'll be right back. What up, y'all? So, I had a real good morning today. You know, sometimes you get your morning started with the right music, and I was like, man, what do I feel like right now? And then I was like, you know what? Let's jump back to my childhood. And I put on a classic that ain't nobody listening to but me. I'm sure I got all the listens on Spotify. Who Be a Master, the Pokemon soundtrack from the first season. Fire. The first six tracks on there, amazing. Viridian City, on the road. And then it got to the Pokemon dance mix. Man, sitting over here making my oatmeal and eggs, jamming. Feed your inner child. Okay, tomorrow when I'm driving over to this long distance job I got, I'm gonna be listening to the soundtracks from the first and the second Power Rangers movie, because them soundtracks are fucking amazing. Feed your inner child. Welcome back to the show. We want to thank our sponsor, Powdered Purgatory. Like, I know, powdered water. Powdered water, exactly.
Powdered water.
You snorted it. Paper straws.
Take a line of powder purgatory and you're hydrated for at least the next 6 hours. pH balance, it is alkaline, right? For all my Dr. Sebi fans. And
yeah. You might have created some.
Aren't you sick of those cans? Aren't you sick of those half-drunk bottles? Get powdered purgatory hydrated today. And so fellas, Adam threw this in here. 50 Cent doesn't think Jay-Z's impact is bigger than Eminem's.
G-Unit.
I just want to start off by saying 50 Cent is not alone.
Man, it's such a good discussion, because I feel like both of them obviously have had illustrious careers. That's a given. But it's like, if you look at it from like, okay, so if you look at Eminem, obviously he sold the most records of any rapper in history. But then we look at Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z has the most Grammys.
Just under the Beatles.
Wait. Yeah, what's the word that you use more impactful? What's the word that is more impactful? Okay.
Yeah, more impactful. So like, I think it's subjective. Like impact on what and who.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Because like, if you say, who had the biggest impact?
Culture, I guess.
Because like, you can say culture, but then you can say just hip hop, like just hip hop. And I mean, there's so many ways to address this. Like, I think Eminem had a gigantic impact in a sense where I'm not saying he made it mainstream because he didn't, but he made it more palatable to white folks though. I do believe that, which in turns put more eyes on it. Mm-hmm. You can say that's, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing or not, but, and then you have Jay-Z, which I believe Jay-Z is the best rapper. I just believe that, but.
Quite surprised you didn't say Nas. But I'm sure you have your reasons.
I go back and forth between them like every 2 years. It's like, I really do. But I think Jay-Z's impact is different. And this is why I say that. I think Jay-Z changed the way we think about rap as far as age. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those people like, you know, when Jay-Z was getting into like his upper 30s, like, is he going to stop anytime soon? Like being ignorant, like, but I'm like, but then I like, you know, as I started getting older, I'm like, well, why would he stop? He could still do it. Mm-hmm. And then as he kept going, you kept seeing all these other people kept going, like Nas and Royce 5'9", all these other people that are having like the best part of their career in their 40s. Like, to me, some of the best rappers out there are like mid 30s and up. Like all these 20-year-olds, they don't do it for me. So, I mean, like, I think the most skilled people are older. And I think Jay-Z is one of the people that kind of led the charge on like being over 40. Cause I think a lot of people, like, I'm gonna hang it up, you know, but he's kept going and kept making, you know, okay music for the most part. Like, so I think that's pretty huge in hip hop. Like we were saying before, he does have the most Grammys. I know he has the most Grammys as a rapper. That's not even close.
As a rapper, yeah, absolutely.
But as far as just period, he's still up there. I think he said the Beatles, right?
I think he said that thing is second most. I think he has like 14, 15, and the Beatles have like 18, 19.
I think that's for the number one albums, though, consecutive number one.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm
making it. 14 and the Beatles have 19. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so, still, but for albums, not for Grammys, is what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know.
I got you. If I could jump in.
Yeah.
I think there's a factor to a factor about hip hop that isn't talked about enough, and that is that it is less than 60 years old.
Yeah.
It as a musical genre is less than 60 years old. And I bring that up because people talk about aging out of it, and I go, but it itself is really young.
Yeah, that's true.
And so to say like these people need to stop rapping once they hit their 30s has never really made sense to me. Only thing that makes sense to me is they need to change what they rap about.
Yeah, and they typically do. Yeah,
they typically do.
Yeah,
but
I think the reason is, I think the reason most people felt like that, and myself included, maybe at some point, is because you would see that decline. Like, you would see less furious type styles.
But and
less rhymes, you know.
I love to say furious styles, like, you, that's a rapper. ain't that Lawrence Fishburne's character? Boys in the Hood, right? but I say all that to say, I think Jay's impact on hip hop is larger. I think Eminem's impact on the world is larger.
Dang.
I agree.
Because
I agree.
To Adam's point of it making it more palatable to white people, huh? What you say?
I was just thinking like, well, I don't know, because Jay-Z actually, and I know Eminem has done good business, but Jay-Z has really excelled in businesses, which would be world a little bit. You know, you're talking about.
I'll even rephrase my statement. I think Jay would have still had a lot of business and commercial success. He got more success because of Eminem's impact. Only because prior to rappers like Eminem, and especially Eminem in particular, making rap pop, but not making it the pop sound, but giving it the availability to get pop dollars.
Yeah, like top 40. Like
top, yeah. Hip hop was not allowed to do that shit in the 90s.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I think no one was better than making rap songs that you can hear on the radio, but you can listen to the lyrics. Like, he's still talking about something. He's not just, you know, aimlessly out here rapping. Like,
and I think Jay-Z is the best lounge. Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. It's like, because Eminem opened that door for them to go back and not only embrace other white rappers, but go back to get rappers that were already doing it well, that could evolve with the times, because that's like why a Rakim didn't get a lot of commercial success, because he just wasn't there for the wave anymore.
Yeah.
And so my argument would be, I think overall Jay-Z has a bigger impact. But Jay-Z doesn't get that impact if Eminem didn't open up that side of the commercial world for it to get to hip hop. And I don't know. I think part of that is because of Eminem's skill. Absolutely. And it's also because Eminem is white.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
If he was white, he'd sit on the shelf.
Because if Eminem was fucking Puerto Rican, what, like, that'd his skin would have just been chalked up to another Puerto Rican. Like, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. No, I think Josh is right, man. It's right. You need both of those. One thing I would say, I guess I'm grateful for, is that, like, I think even with his popularity and how he brought it to the world, per se, I think part of what helped is that he actually did care about the culture. He actually did care about hip hop and actually cared about being good and like pushed. So hopefully he pushed that. He pushed a level of sincerity of like, oh, to even a bigger audience, like the white audience, that it is okay to also care. You know what I'm saying? Actually appreciate and respect the culture that I'm a visitor in. I hope that came with the overall message as well. Because I do feel like that was the truth for him, versus like you could just see the respect. And I think that played a part as well, but at least I hope so.
I can get that. You know? I always appreciated him saying and doing that, because people who didn't know him or would just only pay attention to the service stuff of him being Eminem, they're going to acknowledge and kind of hold it against him that he's a white rapper. And I also don't hold it against rappers that were like, I can't really get into Eminem because he just talks about drugs and killing his mom. Like, that's not really the life I live. But
honestly, I think people were just mad because he was that good in white. Because it's always been white rappers in hip hop.
Yeah.
But I don't think they took the Beatles as serious as Eminem. I don't think they took like MC Search and them guys. They didn't take them that serious, like a top tier, you know, rapper.
And I don't think that I'm not sure. I can't say for a fact that M is the only one who came up the way he did, if you want to call it like a legit route, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like a more respected route. I think certain like gets more respect from coming up with from the underground and like battles and stuff, like being challenged consistently to get respect in whatever area you're in. I don't know how often that happens now.
I get that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It I think that came enough. Along with I came along with this story is what I'm saying. I mean, you know, like in regards to white rappers, separate. I guess. But
yeah, I think they keep them separate now. I don't think battle rappers are even going for
back then, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. Back then it was different. But even then, I don't know. I think it's such a layered conversation because there's people who respect him for his talent but don't like his content. And I think that it's even something to say that his content was not necessarily palatable to the masses. He was extremely homophobic. He was extremely violent. But now
even that's kind of light. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Every song that I hear on the radio is a death chant.
True. I mean, he said it best. He said, "You think I'm the first rapper to smack a bitch and say, come on. Of course, come on now.
He was because he was so popular.
He was so popular.
But now we exposed to so much. It's like, we heard it all. Right. So now it's like, okay, Eminem opened the door for that.
To a larger audience. Once again.
Yeah.
Like people were talking reckless in different ways. People were talking reckless in hip hop just in different ways, and it wasn't so in your face. And they weren't talking about their mother. They weren't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Which is also not the majority of his music. So like that whole argument, man, that people say like they clearly haven't listened to very much. I mean, one of his greatest storytelling materials, like Stan, was also on that same album as fucking Kim. The crazy thing.
Eminem's
like,
first album.
But they only pick on that shit over and over, you know?
But here's the thing.
It's crazy.
We knew because we were re-listening to the song that Kim was a like work of art. My mom, that Stan was a work of art. Kim was just funny.
I think it is too.
And it's therapy.
Good God.
Show that he needed therapy. But
you can't show support for that song now, man. Your business.
Stan, I remember my mom listening to Stan and she wasn't really listening. Mm-hmm. She would just hear the perimeter of it.
The energy of it.
Yeah. And so when she realized in that third verse that the dude was driving off a bridge, she didn't care about the rest of the song or what the song was trying to say.
She was just like,
I can't believe they playing this on the radio and that this is so horrible. Why would they play this kind of stuff on the radio? I'm like, Ma, you're not listening to the whole song.
The fact of the matter is like, people, artists, whatever, are allowed to make whatever they want to make. That's one of the beautiful things about living in this country, that we're not completely censored. I mean, for the most part.
Unless it's about bodies. Bodies get censored like a motherfucker. But and speaking of censorship, we probably got to bleep out that
I meant to say that. That was a quote from a lyric from Eminem.
Sure.
That I was using to provide. I'm letting the audience know that I was using to.
I disagree with that. Honestly, I don't think we should
provide context to a point.
Huh? I'm trying to provide
context to how he was not the only one who was talking reckless or crazy or talking in a way that was in your face or could be considered.
Oh no, I'm not. I don't think the context is bad. You know, you're saying your lyric and all that kind of stuff, but it would be the equivalent of, you know, if I don't know, Tom Arnold. I'm just thinking of a random white person
said the N word. Yeah,
sorry, say the N word. Like this is the same thing. And so I'm only saying that for YouTube reasons.
Okay, I don't think we should. I will bleep it. I don't believe we should. I just want to go on the record. I will do it. That's it.
The times we live in, man.
Better. I forgot the point I was making about.
My bad.
Sorry, man.
Talking about censorship.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember now. So, I would say Eminem. I'm still can't think of it. I don't know. I'll come back to it.
All good. Okay, final thoughts on this.
My final, I mean, I am a little bit sick of that argument that he only raps about this and that. And that's one of the things that come up, whether you're talking about his current music or the music that people claim they love the most and they wish he would go back to. It's like, you can never be good enough. You know what I'm saying? It's like, which they have their reasons. That's cool. I guess it's clear that he doesn't have the same level of rage. He's not poor anymore. He's not going through those same things that he was going through then. You know what I'm saying? But I just respect that the passion is still there. And that's one of the same things I respect about Jay-Z, mm-hmm. that the passion is still there, even at this age, and they're able to perform, even though they might speak about different things still, they're able to perform at such a high level at this age. So that level of longevity is much appreciated. Now, since this is about either or, I'm probably going to have to reiterate what Josh said. I mean, overall hip hop, I'm giving it to Jay, but just in a worldly sense for several factors, one main one being that he's white and happened to be skillful and respect the craft, giving it to him. But just hip hop as a, I guess hip hop culture and how it keeping in mind how it originated, it's hard not to give that to Jay. Even for business practices, like encouraging others to level up their game in whatever mm-hmm. way, it still helps the culture.
Yeah.
You know?
You could
and
say
Eminem with Shade 4-5. My bad. Let me go ahead and say that. Hooking up Sway, who's a big Sway, helped a lot of people, and he hooked up Sway and just all these just different connections and 50 Cent, Royce, and all of that, but still giving it to Jay.
Yeah. Here in a moment, I was always wondering if Sway's show on Shade 4-5 had anything to do with him. I never knew.
Yeah, M owns Shade 4-5. Yeah.
Word. Okay.
That's a good point. I knew that, but I didn't think about that in this conversation.
That's why when Sway interviewed Eminem, it was like a vanilla. Vanilla questions. Layups.
Softballs. I do want to go back quite a bit though, because mm-hmm. I remember Aaron, you said something like you respect the fact that Eminem respects the history of hip hop. And we all know that in this conversation, there's a lot of people who don't even know. They think it's just some white guy doing black music. And like, yeah, that's true. But there is also deeper than that. He does actually know the history, respect the history. And like he knows the pioneers. He is a pioneer, you could say. Could you say that?
And that's why a lot of GOATs, that's why a lot of GOATs like Rakim and them steadily reiterate the fact that they respect him. I think it's not just mm-hmm. the skill. It's because this is a white dude who's doesn't seem to be just eating off of this fucking craft without caring to give back in some way. Yeah. I mean, M named some motherfuckers who I think a lot of black people have never heard of or listened to.
Oh, I'm sure. From
lyrics, back in the day. Recites lyrics.
I mean, yeah. Like,
what was it? The Art of Rap or one of those Hip Hop Evolution. M was rapping whole Tretch verses.
Yeah, he's a big, I mean, yep. he went on a tour called the Rap Shirt Tour, but he called it the Rapture instead. And mm-hmm. going to 80,000, he's selling out 80,000 people seat arenas wearing Molly Mall and shit. You know what I'm saying? Shirts and stuff, so people can see my white fans who will never give a fuck about Molly Mall, unfortunately, to get a feel for like what inspired him as a white rapper to even pursue that, you know?
But let me even say,
levels to it.
It always kind of trips me up. Humbly said that there are more Koreans that know about breakdancing than black folks, and then there's more white folks that know more about underground rappers from early underground. I know I got a little Asian homie who knows more about Immortal Technique than I ever will.
I believe that.
And like to add on to that, it's like most of the dopest graffiti artists, I won't say most of them, but a lot of them aren't black. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I see graffiti artists doing a thing on YouTube, at least most of them aren't black.
And that's
so
not,
it's
that's,
like
that's
every, everybody has taken like today everybody I won't even use the word taken. It's like we uphill. Like it's a shared thing, you know. That's just what it is now. That's a good thing.
I mean, I can always appreciate it's that dual thing where I appreciate that the as I think it's called the pillars of hip hop, break dancing, MCing, DJing, and
is fashion a part of that?
And graffiti.
At what point did fashion become a part of that?
I think eventually it did because it became a part of like the cultural aspect of it. We were talking about the art, the art forms that made the culture of hip hop. I want to say it was MCing, DJing, breakdancing, and graffiti.
Graffiti, yep.
Eventually fashion came in, eventually beatboxing came in, all that kind of stuff, and like got formalized. But it is rare that let me say rare. From what I've seen anyway, the overwhelming majority of people still practicing all the pillars are not Black.
Yeah.
But the issue the main issue that I'll have usually inside of those conversations is people will not acknowledge its foundations, even though they're practicing them, to say this is a world art now and not this is born from a Black art.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
The beef I have.
Here's my one pushback I'll say on that. I feel like when you get into a lot of fields, maybe I can't say all fields because you need to know history and care about history. I don't know that a lot of people care about the history of a lot of things they're getting into.
Of course.
Sure. You know what I'm saying? So it's just another one. That's my only.
Yeah, you're right about that. Right about. However, it just when a certain group of people have been shitted on for so long, it's like this is all we have. Like this is our thing, and then we can't even like have ownership. We can't even be credited for that. It's like dang, like you know, like I'm saying we like I've done anything, but
it's still your history.
Yeah, like Black people, let's put it that way, have given so much art, and not just art, like. Engineering and like whatever, but so much to the world, not just the United States, so much to the world, yet we see nothing from it. Like there's no like not even a pat on the back. It's just like, oh, we're gonna take this, make a bunch of money off of it, and that's what we're gonna do. And it's just that. It's like dang.
A prime example I like to always give people is, first of all, if you don't know who DJ Kool Herc is, then that's already a history thing in itself. But Kool Herc made hip hop, like by singling out the break and all that kind of stuff. So Herc is not wealthy, and that's a problem in my world.
Yeah,
because he's still alive. That's when I talk about like how hip hop is young. The dude that made it is still alive.
Yeah. And broke.
like he's not even old. Yeah. Like he's kind of old.
That's what,
like in the 60s?
Maybe he's like, early 70s? He's like in his early 70s, I think.
Yeah.
Remember when DJ Academics was talking about like the founding like hip hop people being dusty? I think that's what he was talking about, but they may have misinterpreted.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't hear this.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the conversation.
I'm sorry. Basically, like a few months ago, he had made a statement like those old, like you know how he made talk. Yeah. Like he was like those old hip hop guys are dusty, and he was having that conversation. But I think that he was trying to say what we're saying, like. Them guys who made it, who created it, aren't seeing the, you know, the fruits of their labor. You know, that's basically, I think that's what he was saying. But
I took Dusty as like an insult.
Yeah,
dang.
Yeah, me too.
It was like a half insult,
like irrelevant or something. Like, I thought he was saying irrelevant.
Yeah,
which is irrelevant. Let me be clear. So you don't hit me with that rewind, man. Irrelevant.
I think he was just saying that they don't have money and they almost don't even have the recognition
either. I definitely don't have recognition.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, if, like, I remember when I was working at Bozak out in Maryville, mm-hmm. I was talking to a guy. He was like, maybe he was 21. And then he asked me who my favorite rapper was. And oddly enough, at the time I did say Nas, which is funny. But I was like, it's Nas. And he's like, you mean Lil Nas X? I'm like, nah, it's just Nas. Like, I've never heard of him. And he's like, he had never heard of Nas.
Yeah.
And I get it. He's 21, but he's also someone that consumes hip hop on a daily basis. That's his favorite genre. So I'm like, you listen to hip hop every day and you never heard of Nas. I'm not saying you've never heard an album of his, never heard the name Nas before. And that blew my mind. Like, how is hip hop your favorite genre? And you've never heard of Nas. I'm not, like I said, you don't have to quote a lyric. You don't have to do any of that. But to say that you've never heard the man's name before is, it blew my mind. Like, and that's,
well, a lot of people out here posing about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is my favorite show. And probably just like seeing one episode. You can't hold a long conversation about it. It's not your favorite anything.
Yeah. There's like a common meme out there of like a girl running, some guy chasing her. And it's like, but it's like when you wear like a band t-shirt and a guy asks you to name three songs, something like that. But it's like, and it's like, I get it, but at the same time, I'm not gonna wear a band t-shirt and I don't like them. Like, that's weird to me though. Like,
I think both of those things are weird.
Yeah. I thought about that too.
I think you're an asshole if you're like, do you know three Grateful Dead songs? I'm like,
I agree.
Yeah, I would never ask anybody that personally.
Stop fucking testing me. Yeah.
I just always think that. Yeah. I be thinking that like,
I'm not gonna act like I don't. When I see some, you know, white kid in suburbia wearing a Wu-Tang shirt, I'm going, do you? I do want to go like, name five members.
Yeah. Nah, excuse that. Name all nine.
Name all nine.
You got the shirt. I want to hear all nine.
But I'm not gonna do that just because I'm not that kind of asshole.
Yeah, man.
But yeah,
I don't like those tests either.
Say your last thoughts. I got a last thought I want to say, but I want to make sure I wrap it up after that.
I was just gonna say that I really wanted to buy a Metallica shirt because they look dope, but for that very reason, they look dope. And I'm like, bro, somebody hit me with that quiz, I'm failing. So.
Saying,
it's funny. I bet some people think Metallica is like a brand now.
Like, literally,
I got a Metallica.
one of like 5 to 7 people has a fucking Metallica shirt, man.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? I didn't know Misfits was a band for a minute. I really enjoyed the English show
yeah.
Misfits. So I remember seeing the kid. I was like, "Oh, that's a great show," and he was like, "It's a band," and I was like, "It's a show too." So shut up.
fun fact: that show is single-handedly the reason I got into the Black Keys, because there was one scene where they were playing a song. Thick Freakness was a song, actually. I'm not sure you even know what it is, but anyway, like, hey, what is that? And I Shazammed it. Like, then ever since then, I've been a Black Keys fan. Yep.
I need to check out this show, actually.
It's great.
I knew. Okay. Yeah. I'd heard of it.
The first season is great.
Yeah.
I take some turns after that. Then
what's it on? With streaming. It's on Hulu.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it still is, but.
I don't know if it still is. Yeah,
it came out like, about a decade ago at this point?
Okay. Like, I can Amazon it there.
Like 8 years. 06? 07? Yeah. No, we were out of high school. So it had to be like I think it was like 2010.
Yeah.
Got you. Damn. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Over a decade ago. Shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, my final thoughts on this is I really want these intergenerational conversations with hip hop to kind of stop. I don't know why there has to be all these comparisons of what is and isn't. I think the umbrella of hip hop is wide. And we've had this conversation before, and I'm going to argue it always that there should be fucking subgenres. We wouldn't have a lot of controversy if it was. But everybody wants to validate this thing that's so fucking young that it still has room to be defined.
Yeah.
as far as the Jay-Z M conversation, I think Jay overall has more influence. I think, but I don't think he gets there without Eminem.
Yeah, I'm a second Josh's sentiments, and also just say, can we just appreciate the fact that both of their longevity, being in their mid to late 40s, and still having impact and that level of skill, shows they actually care. It's dope.
No, nah, because current Eminem is trash.
Gotta take that on the chin.
Go ahead and bleep that out, Adam. He's all right.
Yeah, bleep that out if you want. That's got to be inflammatory. We appreciate y'all. We love you. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Informally Honest Podcast. You know where to write us, informallyhonestpodcast@gmail.com. Informally Honest on everything except Twitter. That's informally_HP. And, you know, write us. Let us know how you're feeling. Our first subject from the Abbott Elementary thing was an audience submission. Thank you to that person for writing in. And we appreciate y'all. We appreciate y'all. We love you. And no matter who you talk to, no matter who you engage with or who you connect with, we empower, encourage, and implore you to always be forthright, vulnerable, and say it with me, audience, while you're in your car. Yell that shit. Break a window. Peace.
Peace, world.
Blessings.
Can't look in the eyes. Thanks for listening.
Without shedding a tear for my brother, I really wanna try for my brother, 'cause I truly do feel for my brother.